Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. And joining me is Imran, the Don Khan.
I'm feeling real light today, Blessing. Real light and not heavy.
What does that mean, Imran?
It means I trimmed my beard.
Oh, I was trying to figure out what looked different about you. I was looking kind of clean today.
When Imran joined the call, I probably should have instinctively told Imran that he looks good today, but I didn't. I just held that within myself. But Dan, and I was like thinking of like, oh, like Imran looks really nice and really clean today. And I didn't put two and two together.
We
know it's the clean fucking shave right here.
What prompted the shave?
It was getting legitimately, because like, so my beard grows out and then like in a weird hook forward.
Oh yeah, so, I noticed that. I liked it though.
Well, it's aesthetically, it was fine, but like, practically, functionally, it was getting real gross to the point where, like, I went to comb my beard at one point, and a noodle fell out, and I'm like, "Fuck, oh, this is not too far."
That would be the thing. That would have been the thing for me too. That would have broken me. Where like I'm combing my beard, and like a copy of DK64 rolls out, and it's like, "Oh, this ain't sanitary anymore."
Just we gotta a reminder, do Donktober starts in a couple of weeks. You know,
if you guys are doing an intro for Donktober, that should be the intro. Is Blessing with a fake beard combing it, and just a copy of DK64 falls out. He's like, I should do this. I should play this now.
Yeah, let's get into some DK64. Barrett, let's talk about Donktober, because I'm really excited. And I've been looking to you as the one who's been playing it all, even though like I'm sure very little planning has gone into it, period. But what can people expect from Donktober?
So what can you expect from Donktober? If you don't know, for Kinda Funny, October has been officially dubbed as Donktober.
And we're blessing, to be clear, because I've gotten tweets about this, Donk. D-O-N-K-tober.
Not Donktober.
Because people keep thinking we're saying Donktober and getting excited about the wrong thing.
So it's Donktober, the first four Saturdays of Donktober at 12 p.m. Pacific time, right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Blessing and I are going to be doing a full playthrough of Donkey Kong 64. This was a January Patreon stretch goal that we hit of just kind of like a general Blessing and Barrett will stream Donkey Kong 64 at some point. We didn't know what it would look like, and it's been most of the year now, and we finally have an idea of what it's going to be. And that's mainly because a couple months ago, Blessing admitted to me, even though both of us have built so much of our brand on top of loving Donkey Kong 64, Blessing admitted to me that he's never actually beaten the game before. So then it all started clicking. I was like, all right, this is what our Donkey Kong thing needs to be building to, is Blessing beating the game for the very first time.
I have to defend my name because I know a lot of people are going to like hear that and then their monocle's going to pop off, right? And they're like, whoa, he hasn't beaten the game he's been talking about this whole time. Listen, if you've played through Donkey Kong 64, you understand that there are some requirements to actually beating that game. I played through the whole game. I've gotten to...
You pretty much gotten to, like, the last hour.
The last hour, the final boss. When you get to that final boss, there's a door that is blocking you from entering. To get through that door, you have to fulfill some certain requirements. Those requirements include beating the original Donkey Kong, I think, twice.
Yeah, so it's the DK arcade game that you have to play through twice. The first time you beat it, you get a golden banana, and then the second time you get it, you get the Nintendo coin.
So you get the Nintendo coin. I did that. There's also a second requirement to beat Jetman.
Jetpack.
Like the old rare, or Jetpack, thank you. The old rare game Jetpack. And as a kid, I just couldn't, I didn't know how to play that game. It was weird. I didn't know the rules. So I didn't really explain it at all.
And Blessing, and this is like, I'm so excited for you because you're totally going to beat this game now because Jetpack is the easier of the two. You just have to beat Cranky Kong's high score, which you can just do in the first level.
See, I didn't put that together. As a kid, I was just like, I don't know what this is. I don't know how to play this game.
You can just load up Rare Replay right now and practice some Jetpack.
That's been my plan. That is actually my plan. And so I plan to play some Jetpack at a certain point within the next few weeks so I can prepare for this. But again, that's happening in the month of October. Saturdays, 12 p.m. Pacific
time. Starting October 3rd, 12 p.m. Pacific time for the first four Saturdays of Donktober. Hard K in that donk.
Hard K, not a soft G.
Playing through DK64, which I thought would be like too long of a game to do a full playthrough of, because like on average people beat it in like 20 to 30 hours. But I did a playthrough before sending you the Office Wii U and just doing the bare minimum, and I beat it in 12 hours flat. So I think we can do it.
I love that I work at a job where we have an office Wii U.
I just got to keep you on track, Bless. You know, like I got to remind you of like, hey, you don't need that golden banana. You don't need to race that beetle. You don't need to race the rabbit. I'm going to have to remind you.
Because I love racing the beetle. I love racing the beetle.
Because the beetle sucks ass.
Oh, he's so fucking hard. It's bullshit.
I get so determined. And I should transition to the actual show, but I'm about to go on a tangent. I get so determined in these games when it comes to doing the shit that is annoying.
Oh, I know, like, Bless. And that's why I got to keep you on track. I got to playing like, Tamarin. I'm going to be like your coach, like your man in the chair, reminding you of the important like the important goals that we actually have to hit. You know,
there are certain challenges in Tamarin that I knew were bullshit that I tried to complete for hours on end before. Like I was just like, yeah, okay, fuck it, I'm rage quitting this game. And so, yeah, you're going to be there to keep me on track. But we can't talk about DK64 this whole episode because today's stories include Xbox pre-orders crashing online stores, Rocket League crossing over with Fortnite, and Greg Miller being casted in a video game. Because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show at the patreon.com/kindoffunnygames or bronze members or above, get to write in, and silver members or above, get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping. RTX continues this Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. You can catch Greg, Tim, and myself along with some more co-hosts on the Superhero Smack Talk panel where we decide once and for all who's superior between Marvel and DC. Tim tells me that's not what the actual panel is about, but that's how it was pitched to me. And so tune in to see what the actual topic is because that's what I've been thinking of this. That's happening live on roosterteeth.com. Also, would you like to have a happy half hour with Greg and Friday Night Lights' Scott Porter? Then you can head to kindoffunny.com/teamporter. Scott's raising money to fight Huntington's disease, and he and Greg have put up a pink can drinking Zoom call for the charity auction. There's also a ton of video game stuff, so check out everything benefiting the Huntington's Disease Society of America. That's kindoffunny.com/teamporter. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach, Mom and Mohammed, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Logitech, Klarna, and HelloFresh, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Warp Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, as expected, Xbox Series X and S pre-orders seemingly crashed retailer websites. This is from Joe Scrubbles at IGN. Xbox Series X and S pre-orders have gone live, but seem to be causing problems for some retailers, with Best Buy, GameStop, and Microsoft's own store experiencing issues at the time of writing. IGN's sister site Down Detector reports that Best Buy's website is experiencing significant problems, with many reporting that they're not able to see search results or haven't yet seen the Xbox Series X and S listings go live. I should also point out that this article was written legit like half an hour past 8. And so like things could be going better by now, but this was written as things were happening. I've been checking back on the IGN website to see them as they've been updating the article to see what's going on. To continue, though, Down Detector also says Amazon is experiencing problems, although it's not clear if the company's pre-orders have gone live late or if there are legitimate errors. GameStop is currently serving an access denied error message, and the Microsoft Store website is serving a 503 error message. Many are also reporting that Walmart has run out of stock, but IGN staff members have said that reloading the page can return a working pre-order link. Imran, have you at all attempted to get an Xbox Series S/X?
I did this morning because my girlfriend wanted an S, and I figured, based on how big a clusterfuck the PS5 was, I figured, okay, I'll wake up and I will help, and I will also do like my own Windows and check. It wasn't great. Like, even knowing the time, which that part was helpful, that I knew the exact time everything would explode, made that part a little easier. So I had the tabs open. I had like, okay, here's the Best Buy, here's the Target. I'll put on a Chrome Eclipse that refreshes everything every 8 seconds. So I did that, but I didn't perceive the level that it would all just break. Like, Best Buy and Amazon just held off. They did not do it at the exact moment. which meant that I was refreshing that page and nothing was happening. Target, the pre-order button was there, but the button did nothing.
That's what my experience was. Like, I went to Target for it, and I went there, and I kept clicking pre-order over and over again, and yeah, nothing was happening. I then refreshed, and then I tried to pre-order it again, and it was like, hey, you can't put more than one of this item in your cart. To which I looked at my cart, and I was like, oh, it's in there. And I was able to secure one, but along the way, even as I was checking out, like, it didn't register it as checked out. Like, I had to go to my email to make sure that I got my order confirmation. But yeah, like you're saying, it was messy.
Yeah. And which is like, that's just kind of part of parcel for all this stuff at this point. Like, pre-orders are going to always just be a mess, regardless of if you give times or you don't. I think Sony's a little worse because they actively told people a time that it wasn't happening. So that may be a bigger problem, but who knows? By November, what's going to be the shakeout of this? I don't think either of us really know. But I imagine most everyone that wants to pre-order one will probably have one on November release date.
Yeah, I'm on Target right now. Target is saying that pre-orders are sold out for both the Xbox Series S and Xbox Series X. I'm on Best Buy. Best Buy has a coming soon button for the Xbox Series X, and I'm sure Series S is here somewhere. Or actually, no, it looks like it has that for both of them. And I saw folks saying that, like, certain websites didn't have them yet. I put out a poll on Twitter asking people, did you get an Xbox Series X/S pre-order? With three options: yes, no, I tried and failed, or no, I didn't try. Right now, yes is at 28.9%. No, I tried and failed is at 14.5%. And then no, I didn't try is at 56.6%. That's with over 3,000 votes so far. I just put that up right before the episode. And so right now we're sitting at 1/3 of the people who answered in this very small poll who weren't able to secure one, who tried to secure one. And this was kind of expected. It's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation a bit when it comes to these pre-orders. Like, quite a few people were writing with questions in their own experiences. I have a question here from Benji Bop, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, good morning, Blessed Imran. Now that both consoles have launched pre-orders, it seems results have varied heavily across the board. One launched with zero notice/misinformation, but seemed to have a better early success rate if you were paying attention. One launched at a predetermined time and crashed every single website it launched on, with successful purchases happening 30 minutes to an hour afterwards. Personally, both launches had their pros and cons, but in y'all's opinion, what can we learn from this, and how should the perfect pre-order system work in the future? Thanks, as always. I don't know if there's a perfect pre-order system.
Yeah, no, the perfect pre-order system is supply meets demand, exactly. And that's pretty much never going to happen unless it's just perfectly done or perfectly, like, worked out that way. I don't think there was a reasonable situation in which both consoles come out their day one pre-orders and then everyone who wanted one got it. But again, I do think by November, everyone who wants one will probably have one.
Yes. And that's going to happen also as, like, consoles start to restock. And, like, I mean, really what's happening right now, right, is with pre-orders, companies are saying, like, okay, this many people want one right now. All right, let's go back to Xbox. All right, Xbox is going to allocate even more to us. All right, let's reopen pre-orders. And that cycle kind of happens until it's not able to happen anymore or until we get to launch. And so to what you're saying, by the time we get there, yeah, most people who want one are probably going to have one. I have another question here from Oliver, who writes in and says, morning, Blessing and Imran. So about that cheeky tweet from the Xbox account regarding pre-orders from last week, I guess having a predetermined time for pre-orders doesn't guarantee a smooth pre-order. Despite that, do you believe that the overall perception will be that Microsoft had a more successful pre-order rollout because of their messaging? Cheers, and have a great day. I'm going to say, even in my opinion, I would say Microsoft had a better or a more successful rollout. And again, yeah, that kind of comes back to what we're talking about, because, like, yeah, sites weren't crashing as much during the PlayStation 5 rollout, but also, like, people weren't aware that that rollout was happening. Yeah. People weren't aware that pre-orders were up until they're pretty much gone.
Sony actively told them, hey, it's not today, it's tomorrow. Jeff Keighley kind of said, oh, it's going to happen today. And then, like, no, sorry, I was wrong, it's tomorrow. So I think Microsoft's way was better. It just was harder on the retail side. And there's nothing we can do about it because, like, they don't scale for that level of thing is here, go get thing right now. And I expect that that's not going to change next iteration or whatever next big product is going to be a thing. I think Sony's is a little different because you ended up fighting people who follow Wario 64 more than you fought, like, everybody. So there was much less of a rush. But it's also, like, this is a different thing now where if I struck out online, what I would probably do in any other console generation or any other year or an alternate universe was go to a store and be like, hey, can I order a PS5 or an Xbox Series 1 or Series X? And they could have been like, yeah, sure, we'll put you down on the list. And I can't really do that now. Like, theoretically, I possibly could, but I don't want to risk it. I'm not going to get COVID so I can secure a pre-order. So most people, I think, are probably thinking like that and probably like, I'm just going to try and order it online. I don't want to have to go in on November fucking 10th into a Walmart to pick up this thing. I just want it at my door, just dropped off. So we were also just fighting more of each other in that sense too.
Yeah.
I think the only person who really won at the end of all this is Wario 64 and his affiliate links. But other than that, everyone has some annoying story about pre-ordering. I think depending on who you talk to and depending on which one they really wanted and didn't get, it's going to be a more vocal audience. And I don't think Twitter is a good measurement of who actually wanted to get one.
Yes. And I don't know. This whole situation is interesting as far as trying to gauge what is the right way to do this. If I had a preference, I would have preferred for last week, right before the PlayStation conference, like the day before PlayStation, to have been like, hey, tomorrow when we're doing our PlayStation presentation, stay tuned for pre-order information about the PlayStation 5. And then during the presentation, them being like, okay, pre-orders will be available starting later today. That for me would have been the ideal situation, because then you kind of have that sweet spot of not setting people up for bots to come through and storm websites and scalpers and all that stuff, but then at the same time give people who are paying attention a somewhat fair shot, even though at the end of the day still gonna end up messy. Like, I think that would have been the way to go.
I mean, yeah, I think ultimately that part was Sony's fault of retailers blasting early, because they didn't do a good job of training retailers to say like, hey, it's going to be this time at this exact thing. We're going to announce it beforehand. Don't worry about it. Don't go live early. And they clearly just didn't train their retailer partners. And that is kind of on them. I also want to complain. Blessing, you were in that PlayStation Direct program. I was not. And I am really fucking pissed about that. I didn't need it.
How can you turn on your PlayStation, man?
Yeah, every day. Come on. How many platinums have you gotten this year?
How long have you been a PS Plus member?
I have significant.
Imran definitely has more platinums than me.
Me too.
You know, I just got my Persona 5 Royal Platinum, so hey, you know.
I got the Bloodborne Nice. I got the Bloodborne Platinum. That should have been enough. There should have been like, it didn't matter if I had any other trophies, as long as you have Bloodborne, to be like, yeah, this guy knows. So that should have been. I don't care because I didn't get one, because I got one like other stores. Mm-hmm. But I care because I wasn't chosen, and that makes me mad.
Dude, the amount of people who think that I got the PlayStation or whatever it's called, right? Like the pre-order access directly from them because I'm an influencer. That is not how this works. Legitimately, it was luck. It was a lottery. It was
how it worked. Like on camera, people for Kinda Funny would have all gotten that, and like, I wouldn't have. Like, I got that email, I'm barely a fucking presence. Like, no, it was just it felt more random than they were like really letting on to be, because it like didn't they say it was like, oh, like we're gonna check your. I don't know,
it's based. PSN, it was based on your PlayStation account. Like, it was based on your username, right? And like, my username's not even tied to my Kinda Funny email. It's tied to my personal email. Like, there's so many hoops that they would have to jump through to like verify me on that level. Yeah. That doesn't make sense. But that just speaks more so to the fact that I'm on my PlayStation every day, man. I'm getting them trophies. You know, I'm playing them games. I'm playing all them first party games. PlayStation C's that I played Final Fantasy VII. I played Last of Us Part II. Played Ghost of Tsushima. You know, Persona 5 Royal.
I generally believe it's down to like, oh, Blessing played Persona 5 Royal. Also, he played Tamarind. This is clearly a guy who has some varied taste.
That's true. This is a guy that's going to buy a PlayStation 5 no matter what. So we got to give it to him. Oh, man. But yeah, overall, like, it's a pretty... messy situation, no matter how you're going to shake it. And I don't know if there's a way for a pre-order situation like this to not be messy, other than these company websites to get better, these retailer websites, I'd say, to get better at not crashing, because I feel like this happens very often.
I would assume Xbox has held back some stock to do like the Xbox payment plan thing, because it doesn't, you can't really launch that program if there's no stock to, you know, sell people. So I think if you didn't get one today and you plan to do a payment plan, there's probably going to be some in stores before too long. I am a little surprised that this is the last big shot, like block, obstacle, pit stop, whatever you want to call it, until consoles come out. Like, it is soon. It is.
We're right there.
It is less than 2 months.
I feel like I asked you this last week, if you're excited for the launch. Has that changed since last week? Because for me, I've found myself way more excited now than I was toward the beginning of last week. And of course, we've gotten the PlayStation 5 event, and we've gotten Xbox buying Bethesda, being like two big juggernauts to happen in the last 7 days. But like Demon's Souls being coming at launch, like Spider-Man Miles Morales, like the launch feels a lot more exciting to me today than last Tuesday.
For the last week, I've been wanting next gen more and more and more, and like being way less interested in the games that I already have.
There's still a lot of questions that need to be answered, but I'm still going to buy it. It's just that there's things I want to know of, like, okay, how am I going to transfer all my PS4 stuff to the PS5? What does the PS5 UI look like? Are they going to launch with, say, every like media app that's already on the PS4? Because if not, then I need to buy an Apple TV, because I use my PS4 as my media box at the moment.
So you know what would be hilarious if the PS5 just didn't get Netflix? They're like, you know what, man? The Switch had a great point. Let's follow their suit and not put Netflix on this thing. But we'll
it is legitimately possible that we launch that stuff. Like, maybe it launches with Netflix, but doesn't launch with Hulu. Things like that. Like,
it doesn't have Disney Plus.
Yeah, these are all possible, but we don't know for a fact yet. Like, I am kind of assuming that as a backwards compatible system, theoretically all the apps are backwards compatible, but I don't know that for sure. So these are, like, this is a question I need to answer.
These are legitimate questions.
Yeah, that said, like, I'm going to be very happy to play Demon's Souls on day one. So, like, I was more excited about next gen after the PS5 show last week, because Jeff Keighley was actually out there saying, hey, yeah, Demon's Souls is a launch title. Like, they should have done the show. I should, like, that was a cool thing, and I would love to be excited at the time about that. I mean, grand scheme of things, none of that stuff matters. But it is cool that now that, like, since Demon's is coming out today, since Miles Morales is coming out today, though that has its own, like, weird thing now, I'm satisfied with what I'm bringing home that day. After that day, the question of what do the next 2-3 months look like is going to be a larger question, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Talk about PlayStation 5 and launch and the save file situation a bit more with our story number two. Marvel Spider-Man PS4 save files won't work with the PS5 remaster. This is Jordan Alleman at IGN. If you purchase the Ultimate Edition of Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales to get Marvel Spider-Man Remaster on PS5, you won't be able to transfer a save from the PS4 version of the game. Marvel Spider-Man developer Insomniac Games revealed the news on Twitter, as well as providing more details about how the remastered version of the 2018 game will work in a series of replies to fan queries. If you plan to continue from where you left off on the PS4, you're out of luck, as it looks like the two games will be separate entities, meaning your current save won't be compatible. However, this does mean that Marvel Spider-Man Remastered will offer a separate trophy list, which I'm sure Greg Miller is very excited about. I added that in. They did not write that in the article.
I thought they wrote that in. Like, legitimately, I could believe they wrote that in.
Funny enough, there is a later article I'm going to read where they did reference Greg Miller, and it was verbatim what they're going to say, and so stay tuned for that one. Insomniac also confirmed that Marvel Spider-Man Remastered won't receive a physical release and will only be available as a download voucher or a digital download, depending on which version of the Ultimate Edition of Spider-Man Miles Morales you purchase. Imran, how does that sound to you? How does that play into your expectations for next gen?
This whole, like, the whole Spider-Man thing seems like such an unforced error. Like, I understand why they put that Miles Morales on PS4. I think that's fine. That's totally legitimate. Great games are cross-gen. The best game of the generation, in my opinion, was on both Wii U and Switch. I don't care if a game is cross-gen, honestly. But the weird thing they're doing with Spider-Man Remastered and hooking it up to the cheaper Miles Morales, so it's more expensive. That's the only way you get it. And it's not coming for people who own the PS4 version of Spider-Man. All that jazz, like, I know what Sony is doing. They are hewing to old traditions of what a new gen remaster is supposed to be. But, like, standards are changing. I'm not paying for the newer version of Gears of War 5. They are just giving that to me. I'm not paying for the new version of The Witcher. They're giving that to me. I'm not paying for the new Cyberpunk. And granted, those last two are the same studio. But still, like, I understand what Sony believes it is doing. But I think Spider-Man sold so well, and it's so intrinsically tied to Sony's identity by their own, like, decision-making at this point, that they should have just said, yeah, no, it's fine. You bought early, you're going to get the remastered version. Go for another trophy set if you want to. We want you, Spider-Man fans, to come to the PS5. Instead, they're going, we want you, Spider-Man fans, to come to the PS5 and spend another $70, because we're hoping you love Spider-Man enough that you're going to love whatever we do with him. And I think that's a little grody.
Yes, I'm with you that it feels unforced and it feels like old thinking. And I'm trying to wrap my mind around why they're approaching it this way. And I can't find a good answer for it, because it does feel like they're taking one of their biggest titles of this last generation, legit, like their fastest selling title of this last generation.
Once they had 13 million sold or something like that.
Yeah, like the title that led them to buy Insomniac right afterwards. Like, they're taking that and they're using it as almost like a bonus for this title, which I guess probably is the thinking of it, right? Like, hey, you get this bonus if you buy the special edition of Miles Morales, when really, like, you should be treating that game with its own, you should be treating that game as its own entity with its own respect, right? You should be, if you want to put out a remaster, I guess do it. But if you're going to do it, like, for next gen especially, like, add some accoutrements to it. Like, do something to make it a more exciting offer and sell it by itself if you're going to sell it. The you know, saves not transferring over feels weird, especially if it's just going to be the same exact game. But I guess I'm going to chalk that up to the updates you're making for it and the way you're, I don't even want to use the word revamping, because it doesn't even seem like a revamp. It does just seem like they're adding maybe ray tracing and some visual upgrades, I imagine. But even with that, like, I don't know, this whole transition just seems weird with this game. It is weird that I somewhat expect them to sell it as a standalone at a certain point. But it feels weird being introduced to Spider-Man 2018 on PS5 this way, with all these caveats around it and nothing making it feel like a special occasion for this game's appearance on this next-gen console.
Yeah, I mean, it's baffling to me, because if this were a third party, if this were like Capcom, and Capcom were saying, hey, buy Monster Hunter World PS5 edition or whatever, or Resident Evil 2 or something like that, then I'd be like, okay, yeah, I could see that from Capcom. Capcom has no interest in making the PS5 ecosystem more palatable to people. Sony does. And that they're choosing to take the short-term gain over, like, the longer-term, hey, let's just go for it kind of thing, makes me wonder. Like, it doesn't make me wonder anything. I know exactly why they're doing it. They want the money, and that is disappointing, because I feel like they could have easily just said, no, let's go for the reputation over the money this time, and it will pay off dividends for Spider-Man 2 or whatever.
Yeah, and not even the reputation. I feel like it'd be a good business decision to just sell Spider-Man separately, but which I guess they're probably going to eventually do. Like, I keep talking about this like they're not going to do that, or like that's out of the question. But again, this just feels like a weird way to treat this huge game that you have.
If they do it separately, do you imagine that they still only do it digital only, because they're saying that, like, there's no way to get it physically? I think specifically the remaster.
Yeah. I imagine if they do it separately, that's when they make a physical version.
If you don't feel like giving in to the whole remastered situation, the Spider-Man PS4 disc still works on the PS5, right?
Here's the thing. Yes. I love that game, and I'm never going to play it. Like, I finished that game completely. I platinum it. I did all the DLC.
Same.
But I'm gonna be so mad that I own it, or that I don't own it. That it's like, if I wanted to play Spider-Man in the newest version, I can't. Like, but I know for a fact it's the Mario 3D All-Stars thing of I bought this because what if there's a situation in which I want to play it and cannot? And now I hate it, but that it's there is like
compatibility, probably. Like they've not confirmed backwards compatible games. I imagine this would have to be one of them. And is it part of the PlayStation Plus collection?
I forget.
Oh, they didn't show it in the thing. But that it's like then I'd be like, oh, I'm playing the stinky PS4 version when I could play the like nice graphics PS5 version. None of it makes sense. I'm a crazy person. But I want like that craziness makes me mad at the way they're doing this.
I mean, I feel like that's a good way to describe any sort of like gamer reaction to anything. Like my craziness is making me mad at this. But I totally feel you. Like I'm right there with you. Story number three, Rocket League and Fortnite collide in crossover events starting this weekend. This is from Fraser Brown at PC Gamer. And Barrett, I have if you have the ability, I forgot you were the one that was driving the show. We have a YouTube link if you want to play the trailer for it. Because actually,
only
cool.
If you change in the run of show, Barrett play trailer instead of Kevin.
Because right now it does say Kevin. Because I assume Kevin would be here, but that's on me for not checking the calendar. Again, this is Fraser Brown at PC Gamer. Rocket League is moving to the Epic Games Store and going free to play tomorrow. To mark the transition, it's getting a crossover with another free to play Epic game, Fortnite, kicking off this weekend in both games. The Llama Rama crossover will let you unlock themed rewards in Rocket League and Fortnite by completing 5 Rocket League challenges. Musician DJ Slushy, a Rocket League fan favorite, will also be putting on an in-game Fortnite concert to close out the Fortnite Presents Spotlight series. DJ Slushy's performance begins on September 26th at 2 p.m. Pacific time, beginning the Llama Rama crossover.
That's kind of cool. They put the bus in Rocket League. That's kind of I like that.
Yeah, no, that's really cool, right? I almost just saved this for like new dates or something until I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like I'm really digging this.
Here's my question: Fortnite gets a lot of crossovers. There's an Aquaman character skin. There's currently the entire season right now is about Marvel, which is neat. I've been playing Fortnite. That whole thing is like actually pretty fucking cool. I killed Iron Man. All that's neat. No, I didn't kill Iron Man. I went to kill Iron Man. Somebody already killed him. But does Rocket League now get the benefits of the Fortnite like crossover world? And Epic starts making deals for those. Like, can I drive a Wolverine car?
Oh, man. You're opening up a Pandora's box, and I like it. I feel like Rocket League already has had like quite a few crossover stuff, not on the level of Fortnite. But with the hats and like the flags and stuff, like I'm pretty sure there's kind of funny content in Rocket League. So they've done it on that level. I feel like them going free to play and now being owned by Epic opens and being on the Epic Game Store now, right? Allows that game to be opened up in the same way Fortnite has to where, yeah, like what does a Marvel season of Rocket League look like? Do you then get a Rocket League like Marvel Stadium? Do you then race against Thanos to get the ball in the goal? Like what does I could see it. Like I think there's some really cool things you could do with it.
Some
and
people
I,
in the chat are already pointing out like, yeah, like the Batmobile is in Rocket League. There's the
wasn't there like
the
a
DeLorean is in the
DeLorean, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
And like you have Mario stuff on the Switch. Seasons.
I want an arena that is just like the X-Men Institute. I want like all the cars themed after various events. Like, I know this is probably going to happen, but I want it now.
Yeah. No, I definitely want the trailer for Marvel's Eternals. Is that the name of the movie with all the people in it?
Sure.
You know the one I'm
the weird, wacky space one that they're doing.
Yeah, the wacky space one that's not Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it Eternals?
Yeah.
They're doing an Eternals movie, yes.
I always want to call it Immortals because they're Immortals Phoenix Rising.
Marvel's Immortals Phoenix Rising rolls right off.
But hear
me
out. You premiere the trailer and the intro of the movie in Rocket League. Kind of like how they did with Star Wars.
When you actually watch the movie in theater, they don't play that same scene. They explain it to you in the very beginning
Thanos
happened.
Came back, but y'all missed it. You should have played Rocket League.
Honestly, that would actually be a good way to use Rocket, like, because there's no social space to that game. So, one, you could do drive-in movies. That would actually be pretty funny. But,
oh, shoot. Two,
they could do it like, okay, we need a million goals scored in Rocket League before this trailer releases. Like, that would be a
whole trailer for Ransom.
Yes.
Honestly, I'm with it. This all sounds genius, and I do expect, honestly, I expect all of it. I mean, not maybe not the 1 million goals before a trailer releases, because I feel like that could maybe piss people off, but I do expect, yeah, that level of crossover to start to infiltrate Fortnite.
What, a million goals?
Or not Fortnite, Rocket League.
A million goals across everybody playing?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be done in an hour or two. Bless. A fuck ton of people still play that game.
True, I guess. I don't know. It just feels kind of like, oh, no, I guess that's not too bad.
I go back to it like at least once a month, and there are still like so many people regularly playing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know that. It's just a million goals just sounds like a lot in my head, but I guess if there's a million people playing already, then that's happening in every
like
30 seconds.
Yeah. Avengers has this on the main screen of like, hey, the community's goal this week is to like kill a million droids or whatever. So games do this all the time. Now just tie it to something, and I think it would work out pretty well.
I can't wait to see what this turns into. Story number four, Thomas Was Alone creator has announced a solitaire game with a story campaign. This is from Joe Screbbles at IGN. And Barrett, I have another trailer for you to play for this one too. Bithel Games of Thomas Was Alone and John Wick Hex has announced its third Bithel short, The Solitaire Conspiracy, which arrives on Steam on October 6th. Announced on Twitter, The Solitaire Conspiracy will be a stylish take on the classic solo card game, complete with extra powers and effects, with time attack and skirmish modes, and a full story campaign. If you want it even more unique, that story campaign features full FMV cutscenes featuring IGN alum Greg Miller, never heard of him, in the role of a spy agency analyst called Jim Ratio. Let me say that again. Greg Miller is playing a role called Jim Ratio.
I don't like
That's hilarious.
I feel like I'm going to be scared of him in this game.
That's hilarious.
What if
I'm calling Greg Jim Ratio from now on.
Uh-oh. There he is. There's that man.
There he is. Looking exactly like Greg Miller.
I legit thought that was like a kind of funny, like, oh, they're using clips from Kind of Funny for that. But no, it just...
No, that's not Greg Miller. That's Jim Ratio.
That's Jim Ratio.
Looking exactly like Greg Miller.
Who's Greg Miller? I only know Jim Ratio.
The game description reads like this, quote, guided by Protégé's only remaining analyst, Jim Ratio, who's Greg Miller, you must master the unique powers of each crew in a game of tactical solitaire like none you've ever played before. Guide your crews home in a tale of intrigue where nobody can be trusted. Keep your cool in a world of AI spies and cyber-enhanced operators. Not gonna lie, I'm all about this.
Yeah,
like I've not played a Bithel game before. I wanted to try out John Wick Hex, but time just got away from me. This looks great. Like, this looks really unique in a way that I know Bithel's thing is like experimental games. Is a shout out to that, but like playing a version of solitaire that just looks ridiculous with FMV cutscenes in a story, I'm all about.
I really love Thomas Was Alone, and I've loved like other Bithel games as well. But like Thomas Was Alone was a very good narrative game with like positive puzzle elements that I think you would probably enjoy. I will probably play this, but I think it will never weird me out to see Greg in the game. It will be strange the entire time, and that is so good.
I'm just gonna be thrown off every time they call him Jim Ratio. Like, Jim, what do you have to say? And he's like, what's up everybody, my name is Jim Ratio. And it's like, okay, that's Greg.
Jim Ratio sounds like the name of a guy that like makes a very unpopular tweets. Like,
yeah.
My name's Jim Ratio. Don't retweet this or like this. Just reply.
Yeah. Shout out to that. Jim Ratio. Hilarious. Our last news story, story number five, Manicore, a Roblox for older gamers, raises $15 million in new funding led by Epic. That's the point. I should point out, Manicore, they're responsible for Core Games. Core Games has done partnerships with Kind of Funny. So if you recall Core Games, it's because you've probably seen Andy and Greg play it on stream. We did the whole competition for people to submit their games. This is an article from Adam Brown at Forbes, who writes, Manicore, a new gaming startup with software that enables users to quickly build high-resolution multiplayer desktop games, has raised $15 million in new funding, adding to an already sizable bankroll. The $15 million round was led by Epic Games, the first outside investment that the Fortnite maker has made, a significant seal of approval for Manicore's technology, which is called Core. San Mateo, California-based Manicore had already taken in $45 million since launching in February 2017. Quote, "It's a new type of platform," says co-founder and CEO Frederick Descamps, "where you have players congregating to create worlds together to create a new form of entertainment," end quote. Manicore follows on the success of a broad trend toward user-created games that has already led to billion-dollar valuations for Minecraft and Roblox. Both those companies target younger audiences than Manicore. By contrast, Manicore is positioning itself as a place to build games for teens and adults, with all the blood, guns, and adventure storylines that typically go into those titles. This is really cool. Like, I didn't necessarily get to check out the gameplay streams we did for Core Games and Manicore, or Manicore and their game Core, but I'm really into the idea. I'm really into an older version of Roblox, like the idea that we're gonna take that and then expand it out to appeal to 18 and older audience. Sounds cool. Them getting money from Epic, or funding led by Epic, that's awesome. I don't know, Imran, do you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, like, the phrase Roblox for older gamers is hilarious to me, but yeah, it's cool that like a smaller developer is getting an insurgence of money that they need. Like, not need, but like, yeah, that will be helpful for them to make more things.
Exactly. So be on the lookout for this. We'll see if this turns into a huge Roblox-like success. Roblox is a very fascinating thing, because I didn't know Roblox existed until it was already like the biggest thing. And even still, I don't think about Roblox. Like, Roblox doesn't enter my mind space until it's put in front of me. And I'm like, oh yeah, that exists. Like, I have a friend, Carl, who used to stream Roblox, and he used to get like,
he was like the number one Roblox streamer.
Yeah. And he would get so many viewers, and I'd be like, Carl, how'd this happen? Where'd this come from? And he's just like, kids love Roblox.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right.
It's very quietly one of those things that like we as like entrenched people who feel that we understand all aspects of video games don't actually think about. And it's quietly making billions of dollars just off the fact that kids love that game. Like, I went to some event one day, and like, I remember hearing afterwards, like, oh yeah, Roblox paid for all of this. I was like, what? Like, what the hell is Roblox? But it was like, they've been making so much money, and just nobody talks about them. Yeah. Nobody in our circle, I should say.
Like, it is legit, like, if Fortnite was just a thing that existed elsewhere, and every time Fortnite was brought up, we're like, oh yeah, what's Fortnite again? But like, it's the biggest thing on Earth. Like, that's what Roblox basically is, which is wild. Imran, I'm really excited to see what the future of Core Games is, but that future is probably so far away. If I wanted to know what's coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, we got Tennis World Tour 2 for PS4 and Xbox One, Pendragon, or Pendragon, I don't know which, for PC, Rebel Galaxy Outlaw for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim for PS4.
Have you started that blessing, by the way?
No, I've not. It's sitting on my PS4, and I've been meaning to play it.
I've been waiting for launch day, because I think that's when they said dubs would come in with that day one patch. So I've been waiting specifically for today to play this, but I'm very excited for it.
I was going to start it last week, but I started playing Hades instead and just have not stopped.
Yeah, and that's the exact same thing for me too. Like, I was waiting to beat Persona 5 Royal, started playing Hades, and I was like, oh, I'm just playing this now. Hades is awesome.
I'll report to you guys after this weekend. I'll report to both of you directly if you haven't played it this weekend, because I definitely want to check out.
I want to start it too. I hear it's actually quite good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also out today, we got Pandora Chains of Chaos for PC, Sly Slime for PC, Animnesis for PC and Mac, The Girl of Glass, A Summer Bird's Tale for PC, Gravity Mummy for PC. What do you think Gravity Mummy is?
I'm going to say Egyptian-themed puzzle game.
Barrett, I'm going to need you to find a trailer for Gravity Mummy. Exploris, Vermis Story for PC. Way in the Stars for PC. And then the free PlayStation VR update for Minecraft is out today. And then also there's a Red Dead Online update. Two highly dangerous types of bears stalk the lands this week. The legendary, always a bear, patrols the banks of the Dakota River, while the legendary Ridgeback Spirit Bear has been scaring riders out by Little Creek River. Also, there are a variety of new discounts that await players this week in Red Dead Online. I love these Red Dead Online updates because every time we get one, I'm like, I have no idea what's going on in that game.
Yeah,
I have no idea what they're doing in there. Bears.
The most interesting Red Dead has been to me is when it broke completely and like a bald guy was haunting everyone.
Like maybe that one is super cool. Maybe that game is amazing. And then new dates for you. Drake Hollow will be released for PC on October 1st. Bear, I do want to check out that trailer for Gravity Mummy.
So I looked up Gravity Mummy, and I just got clips of the mummy. Tom Cruise pulls off an epic stunt in zero gravity. But I did go to Steam, and I found it here.
Oh, sick. All right, let us see it. Oh, it's a 2D platformer. You play as a mummy.
Okay.
Oh.
So
yeah, this doesn't look great.
I'm gonna say I was right. Egyptian themed puzzle game.
Okay, yeah, no, that's on point. Yeah, it's a puzzle platformer. Very, very simple looking.
Yeah.
But hey, you gotta start somewhere. So shout out to them.
I'm just thinking about that mummy trailer. You know the one I'm talking about, right? Like where they forgot to include the sound effects.
The one where like you hear Tom Cruise yell and it's the weirdest yell you've ever heard on the planet.
Is it like the Kingdom Hearts trailers that kept appearing?
It wasn't that egregious, but it was weird for a movie trailer.
It was also very unintentional, which just made it all that fun, much funnier.
Lord. Now it's time for reader mail. You can write it to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Logitech. Logitech has been my go-to for a long time when it comes to gaming headsets, and their Pro X Wireless gaming headset, Lightspeed gaming headset, is a game changer. Based on the award-winning Pro gaming headset design, Pro X Wireless headsets features high-quality materials, advanced communications, precision audio, and total wireless freedom. It's a high-performance Pro X gaming headset with Lightspeed wireless technology and up to 20-plus hours of battery life. It also features a detachable pro-grade microphone featuring real-time Blue Voice technology, including passive noise isolation, compressor limiter, and more for clean, professional voice comms. It doesn't stop there, as there's also the advanced Pro-G 50mm drivers, which deliver clear and precise sound imaging with improved bass response. Hear footsteps and environmental cues with clarity to give you the competitive advantage. You can also experience this headset's supreme comfort and durability for a limited time. Logitech G is offering our listeners 10% off select products at logitechg.com. Use code KFGAMES for 10% off today. That's 10% off select Logitech G products with promo code KFGAMES. We're also brought to you by Klarna. Thanks to Klarna for supporting Kind of Funny Games Daily in Sweden. They don't shop, they Klarna. Klarna is a revolutionary new online shopping app from Sweden that allows you to shop thousands of online stores and pay for anything in 4 easy, interest-free payments that make shopping smoother. With the Klarna app, you can shop anywhere online from the one app. It's easy to use and convenient to browse thousands of online stores from one convenient place. Pay for anything in 4 interest-free payments. Paying after delivery allows you to try before you buy, and you can also report returns directly in the app. Get the best deals with customized price drop alerts on items you save to your wish list. It's always good to shop smarter and save money. You can create and share wish lists of items with friends and family from anywhere online. It's a fun, easy way to show what kind of products you like. Tim Gettys loves how easy it is to find what you're looking for and to get set up. Klarna is a smoother, friendlier, Swedisher way to shop online. It's the one-stop shopping app for browsing anything, for browsing and buying anything online, all in one app, and allows you to pay for anything in 4 easy, interest-free payments. Download the Klarna app today. That's KLARNA, Swedish for shopping. Lastly, we're brought to you by HelloFresh. Get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh lets you skip those trips to the grocery store and makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. Kind of Funny loves HelloFresh. Tim says Gia made him pork ragu recently, and damn, son. That was his exact words. Damn, son. HelloFresh offers convenient delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. The recipes are easy to follow and quick to make with simple steps and pictures to guide you along the way. HelloFresh offers so many delicious options every week to help you break out of your recipe rut and try new things. There's something for everyone, including low-calorie, vegetarian, and kid-friendly recipes. HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying, which is a burden on the planet and your wallet. The packaging HelloFresh uses to ship your food is almost entirely made from recyclable and or already recycled content. Keep your fridge stocked by adding extra proteins or sides like garlic bread to your weekly order. HelloFresh is committed to making fresh, delicious food available now more than ever, and has taken extra steps to keep its employees and customers safe, including contactless delivery, tamper-proof packaging, and team member wellness checks. Go to HelloFresh.com/games80 and use code GAMES80 to get a total of $80 off your first month, including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. Remember, that's HelloFresh.com/games80 and use code GAMES80 to get a total of $80 off your first month. And Ron, I got a question here from Langium, who writes in and says, with today's Xbox Series X / Series S pre-order, I am feeling nostalgic about past console generations and how far we've come. What are your earliest and or fondest console memories, and what do you look forward to about most with this coming, or what do you look forward to most about this coming generation? Langium.
Let's see. I remember my parents come, or like, I'm waking up and like they had the NES at home, and it had two of the honestly fucking terrible games, Metal Gear and Ninja Turtles, and I was still incredibly excited. I remember my grandma buying me the Super Nintendo when we were at a Lowe's, and Mario Kart, I think, was the game we bought with it. I remember coming home with, I remember like the N64 was supposed to launch September 6th, 96, I think, and I was calling Electronic Boutique every day, because in those days, consoles just sometimes came early, games came early, whatever. I called them every day. And I remember coming home one Friday, and I was like, oh, I'm going to call Electronic Boutique. And my mom was like, no, don't. I was like, why? She's like, no reason, which is automatically suspicious to me. And so I called them anyway after my mom left, and they're like, yeah, we got it in. So I think she was just trying to like stop me from like ruining the surprise a little bit. But I, like, going there, picking it up in Mario 64 was great. Standing in line for the GameCube, standing in line for the Wii, did I stand in line ever after that? No, that was the Wii was the last time I stood in line for a console.
Oh, wow. Launch.
But yeah, I remember when I bought a PS4, I bought it on Amazon and they delivered it to the wrong address. And I was like, I didn't know this is a thing that happened, much less right now for this thing.
Yeah. For the most important thing, you're delivering to the wrong address. That happened to me my Switch didn't get delivered to the wrong address. My Switch came a day late, which had me freaking out because I was very confused. I was very worried. I just wanted to play Breath of the Wild, and I was just sitting there on, I think it was Friday, I was expecting it. I was sitting there just waiting for it by my door, and it just never came.
Amazon deliveries for video game stuff, I always found, was like really a nuisance.
Yeah. And for the Switch, it was a big thing. Yeah, for the Switch, I know a lot of people were like, hey, my Switch is not here. What the fuck?
I didn't pre-order my own Switch because it was impossible to find pre-orders, but my coworker at the time at IGN, Alexio, was able to like get a couple pre-orders in, and so like I got one off of him, and I had to wait that first weekend. Like, I did not get to play Breath of the Wild that first weekend, so I started playing it like the Monday or Tuesday afterwards. And that was like my first kind of console launch I ever really paid attention to when it came to pre-orders. This current console launch is the first time I'm pre-ordering on my own. Like, I didn't get a PS4 until February 2014. I didn't get a 360, I think, till like 2 years after the 360 came out. PS2, kind of the same situation. N64, I think I got in like 99 or 2000.
I got somewhat of a non-conventional answer to this question. Because, of course, I'm a youngin'. I was born in 1994. You know, I'm 26 years old, I believe. If the math works out.
So old.
I'm so old, so young to some people, though, like Greg Miller and Nick Scarpino. But, you know, that means my first console was an N64. And like I had an N64 for as long as I can remember. Like my earliest memories was me playing Mario 64 and Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey. Huh. Like those are the earliest memories lodged into my brain. And so I already had a console by the time I came into consciousness.
So you never had a Super Nintendo or anything?
Well, that's where I'm getting to is later on. So I have three older sisters, and before my time, they apparently had an NES and used to love playing Super Mario 3. And I don't know what happened to the old NES we had, but when I was about, I'll say like 6, 7 years old, out of nowhere, my sisters pulled together money and they were like, all right, we want to buy an NES again. Because we want to play Super Mario Brothers 3. Because my family, like, that's how me and my siblings kind of bonded. You know, it was always through Mario games. Like, we played a lot on N64. Like, I played Mario 64 with them, and Mario Kart, and Mario Party, and Dr. Mario. Like, we were all about the Marios. But yeah, like, by the time I was 6 or 7, they brought home an NES, and I got super into Mario 3. Like, Mario 3 is now one of my favorite games and has some of my best memories of playing games because that was a family experience for me. And, like, that was legit in 2001, 2002. Wow. And so, yeah. That's cool. No, that's definitely, like, a good console memory for
earliest
me.
Memory, I think, is, like, playing Mortal Kombat on the Super Nintendo with my aunt, because my aunt was really into, or is Damn. Really into video games. And I think also Ken Griffey Jr. on the Super Nintendo.
Wasn't Mortal Kombat, like, one of the most violent games at that time?
Yeah, but, like, the Nintendo version was, like, censored, I think. I do remember the level where there was, like, the green acid like green. You could fall into. Like, you could push your enemies into, and then it would come up as a skeleton. I do remember that. I remember that's Ken like, Griffey Jr.
I feel like that's, like, me as a kid. I feel like that's, like... my uncle being like, all right, 5-year-old Bless, we're going to play some Manhunt 2, you know? Like, I feel like that's the equivalent.
I remember playing the Animaniacs game on Super Nintendo. I think that's another early memory of mine. And there's an X-Men game on Super Nintendo I remember having
as well.
I do
remember also, I had a best friend as a kid who had an SNES. After the N64 came out, like, I was the kid that had an N64. He was the kid who had an SNES still. And so I'd go over to his house all the time and experience all these games that I just wasn't exposed to. Like, he had Mario All-Stars and Mario World and Street Fighter and this Aladdin game that he had Pinocchio, I think. Because the game was really difficult. I think it was Pinocchio, because I remember there was like a dance.
I feel like
Imran
feels
there.
Like he's getting more and more stupid the more that we talk about all these weird.
Do you recall the Pinocchio game for Super Nintendo?
I don't recall a Pinocchio game for Super Nintendo.
I think it was Pinocchio. Did Pinocchio end up getting like swallowed by like a whale or something?
Well, yeah, that's every Pinocchio like media thing is.
Yes. It was definitely Pinocchio then, because I remember like the inside of the whale level, and then also there was like a dance. Pinocchio game, and like Pinocchio's the one that there he was like because it was like a memorization game with that song in there. Was that Pinocchio? I have strings, but now I'm free. There are no strings on me.
Yeah,
that has to be Pinocchio.
Yeah, no, that's that's Ultron from Marvel.
Oh yeah, it was the Avengers. It was the Age of Ultron game for Super Nintendo.
I was gonna say, I just like part of me thinks you're remembering Kingdom Hearts 1.
No, this is definitely a Super Nintendo thing, like a 16-bit game. People know what I'm talking about. I should have chat open while I'm doing the show.
Chat has no clue what you're talking
really?
About.
Really? Hold up. Yeah. I'm Googling this.
The last thing they knew about was the Animaniacs game, and then everything you said, like you started saying after that was just like, what is happening?
They are saying Pinocchio was an SNES game, but I don't know if like...
Yeah, okay, I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at it right now. Disney's Pinocchio for the Super Nintendo. We played a lot of this game, me and my friend Addison. It was great.
A lot of the Disney games on like NES and Super Nintendo were just like fucking great. Like, Capcom has made NES games were incredible. Like DuckTales and Rescue Rangers.
Or Lion King.
Lion King was terrible.
Yeah, I remember that.
You could find out how terrible. Like, okay, terrible is harsh. That game was too hard for what it was supposed to be.
Fair, no, very fair. Like a Lion King game should not be that difficult. I mean, I guess though, like, you know, maybe if you're playing as Mufasa, maybe it should be that difficult because he doesn't make it out at the end of that movie. Spoilers. Usually, this is where we'd go into squad up, but there are no squad ups today, and so I'm going directly into kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Rewrite in, let us know what we got wrong as. We got it wrong. Jim Ratio writes in with a squad up, or not with a squad up, with a year wrong, and says, hashtag Greg sucks. Thank you, Jim Ratio. Missed out today from Nanobiologist. Halo 3 ODST is out on the Master Chief Collection on PC. editorialization. Manabologist comes through and says, yes, there was a Pinocchio game. Came out on Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, and Game Boy in 1995.
I remember the Pinocchio segment of the Shrek game on my Game Boy Advance.
Pinocchio has never been a feature. Yes, it has. It was Kingdom Hearts 1. You go inside Monstro.
But also, you hang out with Pinocchio in the Shrek game on Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, K-Bobs, I don't know what you're talking about. It was there was absolutely a Pinocchio world in Kingdom Hearts 1. Somebody fact-checking me on this because I'm positive, but now I'm like, the more I say it, I feel like I'm going to, it's one of those things of like, I'm so sure that I must be wrong.
You're thinking of like the Little Mermaid. Little Mermaid level.
Little Mermaid, that was the... people are saying it's optional and that's what? No. It's still a world in Kingdom Hearts 1. Don't get me wrong, honest.
Somebody wrote in, this Naughty Dog tweet was tweeted legit as we're starting the show, and so we missed it. And I don't know exactly what it is. I'm reading through it to see if there's anything newsworthy. I'll just read through it. Naughty Dog tweeted this morning with hashtag Last of Us Day. And so they're renaming Outbreak Day. And they say, that makes sense. No, yeah, it makes sense to rename Outbreak Day now that I think about it. Oh, that's what this whole thing is about. So yeah, they write, for the last 7 years, September 26th has been our opportunity to recognize and celebrate the incredible passion of the Last of Us community. However, as we thought about the events of the last year and the challenges we all continue to face with COVID-19, we didn't feel right continuing on under the quote Outbreak Day banner. While the name and date are rooted in the fiction of the game, September 26th means so much more than lore. It's about showing our appreciation for our fans. That's why this Saturday and moving forward, September 26th will be known as the Last of Us Day, a name that not only acknowledges the world around us but also reflects the growth of the community as we welcome millions of new players with the release of The Last of Us Part 2. We have a lot of exciting things planned and we can't wait to share them with you in just a few days. Exciting stuff. Makes sense that they're changing the name. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then people in You're Wrong are pointing out that you're right, that there was a Riku boss fight inside Monstro from Pinocchio.
Also not optional, apparently. You had to get inside Monstro.
Oh yeah. I remember Kingdom Hearts is so weird because I have such weird memories of that game. Not even weird. Like everything in that game kind of meshes together for me to where you're talking about Monstro and I'm like, that could have easily been anything. Like, that could have easily been any Disney property, and I would have been like, yep.
Well, it's like, further muddled because, like, you go back there in Dream Drop Distance, which is just, like, a collection of, like, mostly a collection of older worlds. So it makes, like, oh, did this happen this time? I remember playing as Riku, but that can't be right. Like, that kind of thing.
Kingdom Hearts lover in the chat. I've never heard of this person. Nanobiologist says there wasn't a Riku boss fight in Monstro. Riku was helping you fight a weird cage heartless in Monstro's stomach.
Yeah.
Kingdom Hearts is like a fever dream all the time.
That's what I'm saying. The more we talk about the Kingdom Hearts, the less I know about it.
I saw that the rhythm game is going to, they said something like, oh yeah, it's going to be like 20 hours long. I'm like, no, I don't want to play a rhythm game for 20 hours. But we'll see how that goes.
You're going to be sweating by the end of that thing. Well, I guess it's button-based, isn't it? It's not like you're going to be doing like the Dance Dance Revolutions, doing your Seawalks and your...
They're not going to make me
heel toes.
Do it anyway.
Tomorrow's hosts for the show are Greg and Gary Whitta. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.